ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
It's a real pleasure to be here back in New York and to be with all of you. There's a lot of places you could be right now, but you came to this place and it feels very special to be with all of you. That's my deep gratitude. And we'll start by chanting a prayer which gives respect to the teacher who came here to New York and brought the process of devotional service, then to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most recent avatar of Krishna, who came to the world especially to teach the process of devotional service. That was over 500 years ago. But really in geological time, it was just a few minutes. And then we'll chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This mantra is recommended because it's an open prayer and it is especially meant to awaken a love for God within the heart. And just by singing the names of God, one can feel joyful. And this is a way in which to test its efficacy in oneself. Naturally, when one repeats the names of God, according to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one will be in the presence of God because there's no difference between his name and He Himself. And of course, any philosophy that one practices or any discipline must be able to observe the results within oneself in order to be encouraged. Would you agree? Because ultimately, the effect of it is something that how it improves our life and how we see for ourselves the communion we're having with Krishna through chanting, and also the effects of that communion can be very noticeable in our lives when we chant Hare Krishna. And we noticed that the mantra you can experiment in your life by chanting at various times of the day and in various circumstances. We tried an experiment the other day in the morning time, both on Friday morning and then Saturday morning, right at about 8 o'clock a.m. There were maybe 20 of us here for a morning class, and we went out that door, and then we took some drums and some of the kartals, and then we went around the block, and we chanted the mantra out loud. And I noticed a few things. One was that some people were on their way to work. The first three people I saw that were walking steadily focused on going somewhere, I assumed it was work at that time of the day, and they had earbuds in, or you know, earphones, listening to something, and they didn't notice us, or they maybe did notice us, but they didn't look. And then I looked across the street, and there were about 100 people dressed with the same t-shirts. I guess I found out later they were celebrating a birthday party. And when they heard the kirtan, the chanting, as we went by, about 20 of us, they all raised their hands in the air and they started dancing. And the reason we found out it was a birthday because Navina Nirada Prabhu was with us. He ran across the street to meet them all. And they were interested in what we were doing. And then as we went around the block, you might imagine that people had various reactions to the chanting. Some, they broke out in a big smile, some waved, and other people didn't do anything at all. They pretended that we weren't there. That was kind of interesting. And a couple of shops, as we went by and waved in the shops, they didn't exactly invite us in, but they didn't say we couldn't come in. And so we went inside, and then they were happy. Actually, there were two guys and a fixing a motorcycle shop, and we went inside, and they were ecstatic. We could see because they were smiling, and they were taking pictures and sort of joyfully hopping around the room and things like that. And we went in a small cafe. A woman invited us in, or didn't disinvite us, and she got all happy too, and we were really happy, and it was surprising how happy we were, just going around the block chanting. You know, the morning air is a little crisp, and there's a kind of expectation that people have at that time of the day that they should be going somewhere, isn't it? I mean, everyone's going in the same direction on the freeway, and they're on their way somewhere. It's very linear. I'm here, and I have to be here, and there's a certain amount that I have to earn today in order to pay a certain amount of rent. There's a lot of very jagged kind of considerations people have in their mind. But when they hear the chanting, or they see people, you know, singing at 8 in the morning on the street, it sort of brings into question the whole paradigm. Like, maybe someone might say, you know, why do they allow singing at 8 in the morning? Or maybe they're thinking, maybe I should be singing at that time. And the act in of itself is a little bit otherworldly. Singing names of God very joyfully is not a common sight. There's a lot of music around New York, but it's not necessarily joyful or sung spontaneously by people who are practicing a kind of discipline where they dedicate everything to God. There's a lot of energy in that. So one can learn a lot from going to other places and chanting the mantra. One could also learn a lot about oneself by sitting and chanting the mantra quietly. I mean, one thing I could learn from doing it is, can I sit quietly and chant? Or am I interrupted? And if so, who's interrupting me and why? Very likely, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one of the entities who might interrupt you is your own mind. This is something he discusses in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in a very interesting way. He says the mind can be a best friend or it can be a worst enemy. And he also suggests in that chapter that with a little bit of coaxing and practice, the mind could be developed, it could be reformed, it could be refined, and then it could become more friendly. And throughout the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about meditation and giving commentary, explaining that the modern day practical way to follow Krishna's teachings, Srila Prabhupada, who brought to the world the Bhagavad Gita as it is, specifically talks about how one could meditate through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So one could do that as a home practice. Take time and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at home. And then you get first of all, you'll notice for yourself when you're listening to the mantra carefully whether you're able to do it or not, and then you'll see if I need a little more practice. And then also, you might notice that the sound, if you're able to sit for a little while and chant the mantra, you might notice the sound is not just interesting, but kind of mystical, fascinating. I mean, say Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, the name itself is Krishna. And that's why it's so beautiful. It's really beautiful and mystical at the same time. So if you can listen to the name and enter into the mysterious nature of it, this is meditation. You give attention to it and just keep listening until it starts to fascinate you and say, what's in that? And that's a really practical kind of meditation that anyone can do. And so if you do it as a home practice, the chanting of this mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, one thing that you can do that's very helpful, as it is in any discipline, is to regulate the chanting by counting how many times you do it. So the mind's very tricky. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but you take up some kind of a goal, set out to reach a goal, and then you realize, you know, a few days later, or a month later, or a year later, that you're not following it anymore. Has that ever happened to anybody? Just Rasanath, 1 to 5 people. Okay, so there's in the practice of yoga and in devotional service, you'll notice that devotees on their bead, on these bags they carry around their neck, there's beads inside, and then there's little counters on the outside, beads that pull down and count how many times they chant. And that's really to help regulate the mind, because if you commit yourself to chanting a certain amount every day, then over time you get, you'll be able to see the result more, because consistency is very powerful. Also, I heard about a law called the law of large numbers. And it says that the more times you perform an experiment, the more likely you are, or the closer you'll get to the actual result of the experiment. You know, if I flip a coin and I say, is it 50-50? Or if I flip it twice, it might land heads 2 times, and I'll say, well, that doesn't work. But if I flip it 1,000 times, then you'll start to come to the result. It'll become more clear. So in a similar way, the more that you experiment with this mantra and chant it consistently, a regulated number of times, then you'll find that the effect of the mantra will become more visible. Does that make sense? So this is recommended, that it's called numerical strength. Pick a number of times that you'll chant every day and stick to it over a period of time, and you'll see that, first of all, that it's not so easy to do something consistently. And second of all, that when you do it and stick to it for a little while, that you'll notice that the effects of the mantra, perhaps you'll notice at first that you're not as reactive during the day. People that used to get on your nerves more, they don't bother you as much, or there's a little space so you don't immediately react to them. This is mentioned in one of the bhakti literatures, that when you directly contact God, then you'll start developing a sense of a non-attachment to things that aren't important. You have a better perspective. And also, you might notice, if you're consistent in the chanting, that you get more of a vision of the world that's universal. You start to see people as being connected to an original divine source, universal vision. And this kind of vision is actually accurate, because we all come from the original, from a divine source. And you see people more as interrelated and all coming from the same place. And maybe, you know, from that you'll develop some feeling of gratitude, appreciation, just for the variety in the world, and for the very fact that people are trying in their lives, and maybe they're suffering. And you'll have more connected emotions to the world through the chanting of Hare Krishna. These are some of the very preliminary kinds of experiences one might have. But definitely, one will feel improvement in one's own life in various ways that may be unexpected, that come from the mantra itself. So it's highly recommended that one add this to one's life. A good thing to do is pick a number of times that one will chant every day, and then stick to it. And also, when chanting the mantra, it's a good idea to pay attention. A technique that I've learned from a friend is, when chanting, be aware that you're chanting. Because it may be that when you're chanting, you're thinking of something else. Do you think that's possible? Have you ever read a book and you go through one whole paragraph, and in that paragraph, you know that you read it, but you have no idea what you just read? Because maybe you were thinking about paying your taxes or not paying your taxes. Or So this is the law of attention. This is one of the most interesting laws, actually. And that is that wherever you put your attention, your energy will flow. There's an old saying, where attention goes, energy flows. And this is actually a very comforting law to know. Because I'll suggest something a little bit radical. So if you're not up for that right now, you just want to be calm and not disturbed and philosophical, then it'll only take a few minutes. So just cover your ears for a second. And that is that as conscious beings, and this is what Krishna suggests in the early part of the Bhagavad Gita, that we are, as living beings, conscious beings, we're categorically different from the body. The body is a biological robot, really, and we're different from that. And what we are is the consciousness within, and he says that the consciousness within the body is absolutely amazing. It's the most amazing thing in the world. You can just be fascinated by it endlessly. And that consciousness within, it actually has great power and force, which you'll notice when you direct it in various ways in this world. For instance, we're all sitting here now, and you're kind of looking at me, and then looking around a few other places every once in a while. I'm not sure if we even know where we're looking all the time, but why don't you try looking at somebody right now that's next to you. Do this if you're brave enough. You don't have to do this, just voluntarily. But why don't you look in somebody's eyes for a second. Not a second, that's a long time. Just try it for like a half a second. Just look at somebody and then notice what happens. Go ahead, be brave, try it. 1, 2, 3, go.
You can see the soul.
Did you do it? Oh, it's hard. No, have you ever been in an elevator and then there's somebody else in there and you're kind of looking down? It's like, if I look at him, it means something, actually. If I look at somebody in the eye, you know, it's like, what does it mean, you know? Because what creates meaning in the world is the consciousness. And when you look at another conscious being, I mean, there's somebody looking back at you, and that's kind of freaky. No, it's the most amazing thing in the world, actually. Krishna says it in the Bhagavad Gita. If you want to see amazing, look for the conscious living entity. And if you find it, then you could just be endlessly fascinated. So then there's a way in which we could say that that's what we are. We're conscious living beings, but let me put it like this, and that is that really what we have at our disposal, let me put it another way, the only thing we have at our disposal, really, is the choice of where we'll place our attention in any given moment. We have that freedom. Actually, that is our freedom, where we get to place our attention in any given moment. And we don't really have anything else, do we? Because anything else that we might think we have is really on loan. Do you guys have any stuff? Two people only. Too much. Okay, three people have some stuff. Do you get to keep it?
Yeah.
You do? Yes? For how long? Like, name one thing you have. Do you have a bike? Backpack. You have a nice backpack. Do you get to keep it?
Yeah.
For how long? See, none of us do know how long we get to keep our stuff. I mean, I've had a lot of stuff. I thought I got to keep it, and then I lose it. One day, I went to India. I go to India during the October-November period. It's a special month. And one of the first things I do is I go to this sacred pond called Radhakunda and take my bath there. So about 20 years ago, maybe 18 years ago, I went there, and then I I went into the Radha Kund, and I you take off your external garments and you put on, it's called a gumsha, cover your midsection, and go into the water and you bathe and say prayers and meditate in the water. So I went in, and then I looked back on the bank when I was coming back out after my meditation, and all my stuff was gone. And in India, when stuff's gone, it's gone. It's not like there's a lost and found at Radha Kund. And there I was, my clothes, and I had stuff. I had a pen. Someone gave me a pen. It was in there. My glasses. I had some cash. I had my notebook, a lot of ideas. Whatever I have now, that's what I had then. And it was just gone. And I still had about 5 miles to walk. So I walked home in a gumsha. Or home meant the ashram where I'm staying. And when I got back there, the first thing I did, and by the way, on the way there, I just pretended like I was a sadhu. Sadhu is a holy person, so I pretended, yeah, I'm an American sadhu. I don't have anything. I just wear a gumsha. And I got to the ashram. Now, normally, after my 30-day stay at the ashram, I give a donation to the president of the ashram out of appreciation. But this time, I went right to my locker, and I took out my donation, and I went right to his office, and I gave him the donation. And why do you think I'm asking you with the backpack? What is your name? What's her name? Sandy? Nandi. Nandi? Nice to meet you, Nandi. Why do you think this time I gave the donation first rather than waiting till the end? You can call a friend. Oh my God, she's so smart. Yeah. You are dialed in. Yeah. I was very aware of the fact that that anything I have, it can just be lost at any second. So then I came up with this new doctrine. It's called the doctrine of preemptive giving. And that is that everything I have is going to be taken away one way or another. Even the friendly, easy way or the hard way, it'll be taken. And so then I thought, if I give it away before it's unceremoniously taken from me, and I give it to the right cause, then I get credit. Nandi, are you with me? However, if I wait until it's taken away, then I don't get any credit. So this is called my doctrine of preemptive giving. Give away before it's taken, then you get some credit. So my point was, in that diversion, that everything that we have will be taken away at some time, including, and I hate to bring this up because it's a Sunday class, it's a family situation, but even this body will be repossessed at any moment. And we don't have a lease or any kind of claim on the body. I realized that one day when I was taking a nap. I take a nap in the afternoon, 17-minute nap, and I was lying on my left side, and just before I woke up, I became acutely aware that my heart was beating. Have you ever had that happen? And so I started listening to my heart, and then I was thinking, I wonder why it's beating anyway, because I'm not doing it. And then I had a conversation with my heart, and I said, thank you very much. I really felt a lot of gratitude, because I realized that I hadn't even noticed it for many decades. Never offered any thanks. And I said, thank you very much for all you're doing for me. And my heart answered back and said, you're welcome, but actually, I'm just doing my duty, and I don't mean to alarm you, but I can stop at any minute. And I have no idea when I'll be asked to stop, but it will happen at some moment. And I put my 2 feet on the ground, and I was in a different attitude after that about the rest of the time I had in the day, what to speak of my life. I was much more aware of it. So that kind of awareness that whatever I have, whether it's the body or my stuff, could be anything, right? Could be taken at any time. It's really a very fluid situation we're in. Nandi. And so now what do we have as units of awareness? We have a free will and a choice where to place our attention at any given moment. So if you think of this when you chant Hare Krishna, and you do a home practice, and all you have to do for it to be very, very effective as starting point is to very deliberately bring your attention to the chanting. You can remember that it's names of God, and that if you're respectful to that idea that this is God manifesting in sound, and then you just bring your attention there and be respectful of hearing the sound, then it's very, very likely that you'll hear it in a different way, and that you might have a profound experience that could change your life. Even one experience like that could really change your life. You could start in a new direction in your life. The kinds of complexities that you're dealing with now won't go away, but they'll be much easier to deal with. You'll have a perspective that you didn't have before because of that chanting. So the home practice is something that you can take up if you haven't done it now, or if you've done it before and you're thinking about starting it again. I would say if you studied all the teachings that we have available, the main practice that is recommended that one do in order to experience the beauty of devotional service is to chant and do it with attention. What do you all think of this idea? That's interesting. Okay. So now we have 4 minutes left. And I was wondering if you had any reflections. A reflection means anything. It was basically a monologue, but if you heard anything in the monologue that stuck in your mind, an idea that you could actually put in your pocket and take away from here and use later, if you would reflect it back, I would be deeply appreciative. It would actually make my whole day if you would do that. Not to put any pressure on you, but yes. Do we have an extra to give to her? It's possible? You got to do it fast, because we only have 3 minutes left now. Actually, you start, because it may take a minute, and I'll say back what you're saying. Yeah. She liked the awareness, the vignette about the awareness, being aware of my heart beating and then having a conversation with the heart. Yeah, and you know, that's a true story. It really happened to me. And it has a lot of significance to me. And when I think back to it, when I reflect back on that moment, it's just a moment of clarity. There's no telling how many moments of clarity we might get in our life, so we really have to take advantage of them. I mean, in 1 month, do I get a moment of clarity? I don't know. Maybe in a year? Possibly. In 10 years? But we only get a certain amount of time in this life, so we can really rearrange our lives or organize them in ways that we get more clarity, and we have more teachable moments in our life. And more awareness. This is the lifestyle of Krishna consciousness. It's really a practical thing. It's meant, the way that practitioners of bhakti yoga organize their lives is meant to make them more receptive to hearing the sound of the Hare Krishna mantra, and to be more perceptive of the presence of God everywhere. And that can be done. There's some simple things that can be done to change one's physiology and also the environment one lives in. And that's a very practical science that one could do. So that's pretty exciting. Okay, a couple more reflections. Yes. Watch out, don't get... Okay.
Thank you for making most important point as most that amongst all our leaves of bhakti tradition, all the different processes, chanting Hare Krishna is the most important. And it reminded me of Srila Prabhupada was chanting in Chicago one time. And Kesava Bharati Maharaj stresses this point. And after chanting for a while, Prabhupada put the japa beads down and he says, there could be a day no temple you have access. There could be a moment you may not have any association of devotees. There could be a moment you don't have any book to read or anything. But japa, if you take it very attentively and sincerely, it will be the only access you have. Therefore, pay attention to your japa. It will be the only shelter that nobody can take.
Thank you. That was very helpful. And really, in the main teachings given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he does emphasize the chanting of Hare Krishna. And there's a reason that's given. It's the age we live in is a little troublesome. There are a lot of distractions. And people tend to pick up bad habits easily in this age. It's a symptom of the age. So it's a little more difficult to take up practices that have a lot of detail to them and moving parts. So the recommendation in this age is sort of this omnibus mantra. It has everything in it, and it's one simple thing. That if you can do this one thing, then all other facilities will come to you. Even in devotional service, there's 64 items of devotional service, but out of them, there's 5 that are particularly important and potent, but out of the 5, the Hare Krishna chanting is considered to be the best and the most important. Everything can come from that. One last reflection? Yes. Okay.
I really like the point that you were mentioning with the...
Keep it close.
When you're reading a book and the paragraph, when you're reading a paragraph and we don't know we're actually reading it. We're reading it just to read it. Our eyes are moving, but nothing is being collected in the mind. And I was thinking that the mind is kidnapped in such a way that it does not know it's kidnapped until the deed is done. It's not... You never see it coming, you only see it after it's done. And I was thinking that the chanting of Hare Krishna it gives a one-pointed attention to practice this meditation on one thing, and then we can practice it for so long and so long. And then it really helps keep sanity in this world. And because there's so many distractions, if everybody meditate on one thing like the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the world would be more sane.
You're recommending it.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, he's been chanting since he was 12, and he's mature and traveling all over the world and everything. He still recommends it. He's been practicing it. And I see a lot of good qualities in him. So we'll take your recommendation. I thank you. This is really excellent points. I'll just make one last point and then an invitation. Does that sound okay? So. Chaitanya Charanprabhu, the great devotee and one of the most proficient orators I've ever heard, talks about the importance of giving attention in a very comical way. Imagine that you join a gym in January, like everybody else, and then you go to the gym, and then you lift weights for the first couple days, and then you think, like, well, I really should be doing this. It's important to do these exercises. But it really is a little troublesome lifting the weights. So I'll go to the gym and I'll move my arms, but I just won't lift the weights. You know, weights are on the floor. I'm moving my arms. And so there's a way in which it's possible in any in discipline, and specifically the chanting of Hare Krishna, that I can say, yeah, this is a very good idea. I'd like to do it, and I will do it. I just won't pay attention. So my suggestion is that paying attention, again, is the main asset that we have, the choice of where to place our attention. And it's the most consequential thing we do at every moment, is decide where to place our attention. And the most monumental choice that one can make in one's life, according to all the scriptures, they all agree on this, is that one could decide that I'll pay more attention to chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It will have a guaranteed radical positive effect in one's life. So that was my thought. And then my invitation is, the prasadam is ready downstairs from what I heard from the announcements. So please take prasadam. But anybody who wants to, just do maybe a 7-minute experiment afterwards. We can sit in a little circle over here. And we'll just try chanting the mantra together. And we'll see what it's like to try to pay attention to the mantra altogether as an experiment in consciousness. Because we're conscious living beings, right? Any non-conscious living beings, don't say anything right now. Just be inert and don't move. Then it blows the floor and everything else. Okay, so please go take prasadam. Yes, Prabhu?
$16.
Well, I'm sorry, why chant 16 rounds? We'll talk about that in the group, because the next session is really about japa. Yeah, so you can join the group, and because we really should end. He told me to end and now I'm 5 minutes past. So we're going to form a little circle over here. If a few of you want to join together, it's just going to take 7 minutes, and we'll do a little experiment with chanting together, like more in the japa style, not kirtan. Thank you very much. Yes, Prabhu. I couldn't quite understand.
Why 16?
Why 16?
Why only 16?
Why not 11, 12, 15, 17?
Why 16?
It was a reduction from 64. That's true. I mean, it was the recommendation, but people couldn't follow it, so Prabhupada said then chant, like 32, and they couldn't do that, so he said chant 16. So it's a sale price. Okay, thank you. Vanchakal Pradusha, Kripa Sundabhivacha, Patitanam Pavanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo, Namo Namaha. Over here, over here. I couldn't understand. I can't hear you from over here, so please come over here and we'll get into the details. Thank you. You staying? Okay, let's sit here. Hare Krishna. Come in close. You know, we had that little speaker the other day. You know where that little speaker is? Just see if it's hidden over there somewhere. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Maybe I'll use the microphone to start with, because this may be a little difficult. And thank you. I think that's all I need. Okay, thanks for joining this experimental japa circle, which is growing. So In the chanting of the Maha Mantra, there's three words. Hare, everyone say.
Hare.
Krishna.
Krishna.
And Rama.
Rama.
These are all sacred names of God. And just by saying the name, then you're actually directly in contact with God Himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the theory behind the mantra. So then you have to test it out. And the most important aspect of the chanting is to chant, first of all, with attention. Don't let your attention go away. And if it does, don't worry about it. Just gently bring it back to the chanting again, so that your mind is fixed on the chanting. You don't have to think anything about it, except for you just have to be aware that you're chanting. Does that sound okay for like a preliminary? Okay. Now, there's a couple ways of counting how many times you're chanting. So one way I want to teach you, many of you already have beads, and it's kind of a traditional way to count on beads. But there's another way on your hands. If you hold up your hand like that, hold up your right hand, and watch what I do. I'm putting the thumb in this little space. You see, you have little spaces on your hand. You didn't know those were counting japa, right? That's why they're there. So you put your thumb on your in the middle section of your ring finger. You see that? And say, Krishna one. Now move it down to the bottom of your ring finger and say, Krishna two. Bottom of your little finger, say, Krishna three. The middle of your little finger, say, Krishna four. Top of your little finger, say,
Krishna five.
Top of your ring finger, Krishna six. Middle of your middle finger, Krishna 7. Top of your index finger, Krishna 8. Middle of your index finger, Krishna 9. And the bottom of your index finger, Krishna 10. Now let's all say it together and do the counting. Watch if you don't know it yet, watch me. All together, Krishna 1, Krishna 2, Krishna 3, Krishna 4, Krishna 5, Krishna 6, Krishna 7, Krishna 8. Krishna 9, Krishna 10. One more time. Krishna 1, Krishna 2, Krishna 3, Krishna 4, Krishna 5, Krishna 6, Krishna 7, Krishna 8, Krishna 9, Krishna 10. You got that? So multiples of 10 are easy to count if you use your other hand too, in the same way. And you know, you can count to 100 really easily. So now the point, reason I taught you that is because if you don't have your beads available, you can always chant on your fingers. And I wasn't sure if everyone have beads right now, and it would be hard to distribute them to everybody, but we can, if you don't have them, then you can chant on your fingers for now, okay? And what we're gonna do is together, we're gonna chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and we're gonna count to 20. We're gonna chant 20 mantras together, okay? So, one trick is, before you start chanting, then just move your spine just a little bit straighter than it was before. Because you'll notice, like, if you ever go to an interview, and if you slouch, they won't hire you. Because they think this person's not interested. And it's a trick yogis use all the time. They just straighten their spine, and the whole mental system says, this is important. So that helps a little bit on a physical level. And the next is, when you say the mantra, then pronounce the syllables in the mantra, and don't go too fast. It's not a race. In fact, we're going to try to stay together and just hear each syllable as you say it and enunciate it with your tongue, okay? Because that helps you to keep the mind-body connection together. And then the third thing is, before you start chanting, and we'll do this together, we'll make a prayer. And so when you're saying the mantras, because this is an open prayer, anybody can say it. It's open for everybody. You can say the prayer, and when you're saying the mantra, it's like you're bringing out your sincerity to see the completion of that prayer. Okay? So those three things. That's posture, pronunciation, and prayer, the three P's. Those things help. Okay, so put your fingers on the first position, which is Krishna 1. And we're going to, I'll start chanting the mantra at a certain speed, and please try to follow the speed that I'm doing. And Your only job is to be aware of the chanting. And when you notice that you're not aware, then just bring your awareness back to the chanting again, okay? Any questions before we start? Okay. Let's say a prayer. I'll say, please repeat. Dear Lord Krishna,
dear Lord Krishna,
in the form of your most merciful holy name, please let me give my full attention to you. Thank you for considering my request. Okay, so here we go on 20 mantras, and you can close your eyes or keep them open, whatever helps you to focus and keep at the same speed all together. And when I stop, when you hear me stop, then just also stop too. Okay. First of all, we'll say the Panchatapa mantra. I'll say, please repeat. Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Prabhu Nityananda.
Prabhu Nityananda.
Shri Advaita.
Shri Advaita.
Gadadhara.
Gadadhara.
Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda.
Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare.
Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, for the next 10, go a little slower and just listen to the syllables. We don't have to get to the end of it quickly. You just have to keep your attention on the mantra and keep a prayerful mood. So a little slower and in unison. Last 10.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Now just sit for about 10 seconds and notice how the vibration has gone through your whole body. The vibration is still in the air. And this is the most nourishing of all vibrations. There's a lot of sounds you can listen to, but the only one that all the Vedas point to ultimately that is beneficial in the highest degree is this vibration itself. So to improve one's life, to find the benefits of spiritual practice, there's just a couple simple principles. One is to take time every day to chant. Second is chant a fixed amount. Find a number that you don't go below no matter what. Even if there's a flood. And the third thing is practice bringing your attention back to the mantra wherever it goes. Those three things. Can someone say back to me what those three things are? Okay, the three things I just said. Yes, one. Say one. Yeah, but the things I just said. Yeah.
Chant the many time you do, set a
number,
and then do not go below
it. Yeah, set a number that you don't go below every day. That's one thing I just said. What's the other two? The other thing I definitely said was pay attention. Because that's the main point. That's the heavy lifting. So if you don't pay attention, you can chant all day long and it's like lifting weights, but you didn't actually lift the weight. You're just moving your arms. But if you want to have the result, you have to pay attention. And remember, it's the only asset you have is deciding where you're going to place your attention. So if you decide to place your attention on this, the rewards will be unlimited. Unlimited. And was there a third thing?
Persistent.
Be persistent?
Yes.
Consistent. Consistent and persistent, because that will have a big effect. Did I say anything else? Yeah. Okay. Any questions?
Yes.
Yes, Prabhu.
In the morning, I do get 16 rounds.
He's saying in the morning he gets 16 rounds done.
But I have to rush out to catch a train.
But he has to rush out to catch a train.
Now, and I take my beads with me.
He takes his beads with him.
I'm chanting silently.
But he's chanting silently.
Does that have the same effect? Because I'm not.
Does it have the same effect because you're not pronouncing
vibration.
It?
I'm not really.
I don't know. Let me ask you. Does it have the same effect for you?
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm not sure. I'll tell you one thing I know for sure is that it doesn't have the same effect for the living entities around you. Because one of the things Haridas Thakur said is that when you chant out loud, then the living entities hear you. But sometimes in the train, you know, it's like you don't want to be demonstrative and chant really loud. I know there's a devotee in Japan. In Japan, you know, when they catch a cold, they wear a little mask. They do that here in New York? You could popularize it. She wears a mask on the train because it's normal. People, whenever they catch a common cold. And then, you know, she puts some earplugs in, she just leans back, and no one can see her lips moving, and practically over the noise of the chant, and you can hear a little more when you're chanting. But to answer the question, that really, when you chant silently, if you have to in a certain place or time, then the main thing is the same principles are there. Bring your attention to the chanting. Unless you're really practiced at it, it may be a little harder, but it's definitely worth the trouble because, and I hate to bring this up on a Sunday again, but at the time of death, it may be hard to chant, and you may, you know, not be able to move your lips, but any time you can practice bringing your attention to the mantra is beneficial. It's what it develops in you is called yoga balena, or spiritual strength. And take the liberty to do this when you have the wherewithal to do it. Because there may be a time when you don't have the wherewithal to do it, but when you are of sound mind and you have physical strength to do it, use as much time as possible to practice, because then your mind will naturally start going back to the mantra. Yes, Prabhu. Two questions.
One, when we chant here, the finger, the one right here.
Yes.
Where is the other one? Is it this one or that one?
It's in all the gaps here, the wide gaps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, just hit the gaps.
Okay, this is the first question and the second one. Sometimes we drive, we don't, like, actually, sometimes we don't pay attention too much on drive because it's usual. We drive, maybe we are very expired or somehow, this road we drive. With the one hand, sometimes we chant. How?
Well, first of all, Prabhupada actually told us drive with two hands, because so many devotees drove off the road and things like that. He actually gave that instruction. And I told one devotee this morning who was driving us and he had his bead bag in his hand. And I said, please, the traffic in New York is hard enough as it is, what to speak of driving with your left hand. So use both hands. So it's important to drive with as much dexterity as possible. And means, you know, use two hands. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of the idea that one continue to chant in all circumstances. In fact, it doesn't matter where you go, because there was some debate going on, like if, let's say you go into the bathroom, is it okay to chant in the bathroom? And this question came up, and then there was a young boy named Gopal that was near Mahaprabhu, and he gave his opinion. He said, the holy name is pure, it's never contaminated, therefore one should chant constantly. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to that boy and he said, your new name is Gopal Guru, because you have said the correct thing. So the fact is, you should always chant the holy name, wherever you go. If you get in the habit of keeping it going all the time, this is the secret to success in spiritual life. There is no other secret except for this, and it's so simple, it's elusive. And I just might forget about it, so that's the point. Any other question?
I have one.
Yes, please.
Sorry.
Yeah.
When he was telling that driving and chanting.
When he was talking about driving and chanting.
Yeah. How do you place the attention on chanting and driving when you're driving?
How do you place your attention when you're driving and chanting?
How do you put the attention on chanting?
Well, driving's pretty important. You know, I mean, there's a lot of signs up nowadays that say don't text, and better to wait than to be dead later or something like that. I don't know what it says. But, you know, driving is a pretty dangerous thing. So we want to put as much attention into it as we can. So, you know, it's a good idea, if you can, to try to carve out spaces in your life when you can actually give full attention to the holy name. Because after all, it's the main practice. And if you do the main practice with as much attention as possible, then you'll get the result. And you know what? There's nothing as encouraging as progress. So you really want to try to get progress. And Rupa Goswami says in his teachings on bhakti that it's actually illegal to practice without getting progress. That principle is called niyamagraha. Those two things that can happen as you go forward. One is that you do all the things, but you don't pay attention, so you don't get the result. That's illegal. The other thing that's illegal is to stop practicing. So the only choice is to practice with attention. And to do that, you have to be very deliberate. Okay, so unless you've taken a vow to chant 16 rounds. If you have, then you better do it. But in any other case, you find the number that where you can actually concentrate, do quality rounds, and what happens is, it's by Krishna's grace, he'll start to open up more time for you when you give quality time for him. And it's something that you might look at your life and then reform certain things. You can do it by degrees. Like, do you stay up 5 minutes extra at night that you don't need to? Is it possible to like look at the internet before you go to sleep and then 5 minutes turns into 5 hours or something like that? And then, then you wake up at noon. I mean, anything's possible unless you're a little disciplined. So if you put the chanting as the centerpiece of your life and say, this is the most important thing, then build outwards from there. And what other things, you know, will I do in my life based on the fact that I finished my rounds and the number of rounds I do? If you do that, then the reciprocation is even greater, because Krishna will notice that you're taking trouble to do that. So this is what all the great acharyas teach. Is take time to chant with intentionality and with great attention placed on it. It's very simple. Anybody can practice it. There's no anybody who's barred from doing this practice. But I point out to you, when Prabhupada was making his campaign all over the world and bringing in disciples, the only thing he actually asked them to do, there's some things he asked them not to do, the only thing he actually asked them to do and make a vow to do was chant japa. Think about it. There's no other vow except don't do these other things because that'll mess up your japa. So if you put your attention into that and try to build up your muscle by practicing, which you can do, all of you are very accomplished people. I mean, if you've made it this far in your life, you know, you're pretty good. What to speak of all the other things you've attained through discipline and concentration and everything. Just do it for japa. And then your whole life will change around that principle, guaranteed. And it radiates outward into the culture of the community also. What I recommend practically is you form some japa groups. You know, find some partners, because sometimes when we sit in a circle like this, it really helps. You can find people who are, I mean, look at Hari, you know, he's fired up. He's got a smile on his face. He likes this. You know, find someone who actually likes this and then say, you know, can I sit with you? And, you know, find a time, even if you can only do it once a week or once a month, get together and have a japa group and make it the centerpiece of your life. And the Shastra is just saying over and over again that your life will become more and more productive and you'll become more and more happy by the chanting. Does that make sense? Okay. Any last question? Yes, Prabhu. Okay. See, it makes the holy name makes everyone friendly and cooperative too.
Is it okay to think of Lord Chaitanya?
Is it okay to think of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda? Yes, it's highly recommended. But when you're chanting japa, you don't have to do smarnam. In other words, you don't have to start by saying, I'm going to think of a pastime or a thing. Better to chant prayerfully, and if those things come into your mind, I'm saying verbatim what Prabhupada said. If those things naturally come into your mind, then of course, you know, you'll notice that you are just graced with some special mercy from Krishna. But it's not like you have to sit down and before you start chanting, you know, remember a pastime. Really focus on the sound of the holy name and remember that it is Krishna incarnated in sound. In the best way. In fact, Rupa Goswami said, there's no incarnation of Krishna better than the holy name. Because he says that you may disregard the form of Krishna and end up in ignorance and maya and all kinds of complexities. But the holy name still comes looking for you. And that's why when we go out chanting, you know, the holy name's going in all over the place. It doesn't discriminate. And it's bringing people by the hand back into the spiritual world. So if it's doing it for people who are in ignorance, what to speak of somebody who actually leans into it? I mean, really trying to break something when you chant. Like, that's what I think of when I'm chanting. I'm like, I want to like smash through maya, and like the holy name is so powerful and victorious. If I lean in and I really chant, I mean, who's to stop you if you decide to chant with great vigor? Who can stop you? If you decide to give your full attention, that's your prerogative, that's your decision. Just like it says in the Nectar of Devotion, if you decide to take a bath in the confluence of the Ganges and Jamuna during the month of Magh, it's freezing cold and foggy outside. But if you decide that's what you're going to do, who can stop you? This is what the Shastra said. And if you decide, I'm going to do spiritual life no matter what my mind says or anybody else, that kind of determination will make you advance in Krishna consciousness. Was there one more question?
In reference to the chanting, by using the restroom or bathroom,
yes.
Like when we chant, we're calling Krishna.
About going into the restroom and chanting, he's saying, but we're calling Krishna.
Like you don't like call even your, like it's not even pleasant for us, right?
So not even pleasant for us, so. Well, it's not that we're calling Krishna to come into the bathroom. It's just that we're, first of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the principle. So we know it's okay to chant. So that's the first thing. Second thing is the holy name's not affected by being in any place. And it's more important, the principle of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him and constantly chanting. Those are the two rules. Out of all the rules there are, there are billions of rules if you get into karmakanda and pancharatrik rules and everything like that. But then the Shastra says, out of all the rules, all those rules are servants of two rules. One is always remember Krishna, that's ARK, and the other is never forget Krishna, NFK. So remember ARK and NFTK. But it's okay, Mahaprabhu said it, so we can just take it. He said follow Ekadashi. If you don't know what Ekadashi is, if you follow it anyway, because Mahaprabhu said to do it, you'll be fine. Okay, so last thing, because you all have to take prasad. Yes, one, two.
Maharaj, can we, while doing pranayama, can we take the help of Maha Mantra and do that?
While you're doing pranayama, can you take the help of Maha Mantra?
Like during exhale, we can chant one particular Maha Mantra and then...
Yes, you can, but I rephrase it. We try to avoid saying take the help of the Maha Mantra in a sense that we always try to say we're serving the Maha Mantra. But yes, if it helps you to breathe in a certain way so that you can chant with more attention, then try that. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this in the Harinam Chaitami. He said, if you need to be inventive, try different things so you can concentrate. Like if you want to sit in a closet, that's okay. I have a little pantry basement in my home in California. And the other day, there was just too many sounds bothering me, so I just went in that basement and sat in there, and I thought, relief, no one knows I'm here. I don't know where any of my devices are, and I felt happy. That's why people go, they go to like a remote place so they can tune out the world for a while. But we get too much information nowadays. It's not healthy. But, take time every day to experience that. Last point, and then prasadam.
Krishna says, when you leave the body...
Krishna says, when you leave the body...
That's where you go.
That's where you go.
Your mind, wherever your mind is at the time of leaving the
wherever body, your mind is at the time of leaving your body, that's where you're going to go.
So when in the bathroom, it is recommended to chant because you can die anytime.
And it's recommended to chant in the bathroom because you can die at any time. Elvis died in the bathroom.
Yeah.
If Elvis had been chanting... No, he did. He died on the toilet. So, this happens all the time. It does happen. Thank you. We'll call you. What is your name?
Krishna Kumar Das.
Krishna Kumar Guru. All right, so help each other. It's really good to organize around this principle of chanting japa. Find a friend who wants to increase their japa and then join together and do a few things. And if you don't have beads yet, and you want to, start chanting on beads, there's a gift shop over here. I'm sure they have them. Get yourself some beads and start off, make a little vow, okay? Let's offer obeisance to all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpadurvasha kripa sindame vaja patitanam pavanivya vaishnavibhyo vananta kodi vaishnavinaki jai.
Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, hey, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.